Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this live with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you this morning to our Wednesday morning edition as we continue our lesson it is the power of the Holy Spirit, but recognizing the Holy Spirit. And I'm sticking with this title for the various meaning of when we say recognizing the Holy Spirit, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take you and I recognizing Him that's leading us, Him that's guiding us. And if you look here at the 14th chapter of the book of John, how Jesus told the disciples that over here in verse 16, he said, over here, one thing that he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. And that comforter is a counselor. He'll be a helper, an intercessor. He'll be an advocate, one that means stand in between. He will be a strengthener. That means he will strengthen you to follow through. And he will be a standby. Standby almost as the same as being a strengthener. I will stand by you. In other words, how often that when you have to make a decision and there's no one to stand by you, he said, I will stand by you. I will be your strength. So when you recognize the truth, when you embrace the truth, don't expect everyone around you to have the same enthusiasm as you have. Because in the flesh, we all have weakness. But when you walk in the Spirit, as we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, that means you're walking in the Spirit, meaning I'm walking in Spirit and truth. So to walk in the Spirit and in truth, meaning you have to have the Word of God as truth, okay? And so this is our lesson as we continue in our lesson that we started yesterday, that Jesus was speaking here to his disciples. And again, when you go from the 13th chapter all the way to chapter 18, Jesus' ministry became more privately to his disciples, because he was explaining and expressing to them the type of death he had to die, and he was preparing himself for his act of obedience to the Father for our freedom, for our redemption. And so having said that, let's make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I want to say good morning to you. And thank you for joining me on our Wednesday morning edition of Grace Institute Online Bible School. So if you have your Bibles, go with me over here to John chapter 14. And we left off here yesterday in sharing with you that Jesus was talking to the disciples in John 14. He was saying to them over here in verse 12, I assure you, and I'm reading from the Classic Amplified Living Bible. He said, I assure you, most solemnly tell you, if anyone steadfastly, and this is the thing I keep drilling in. Notice the word, if anyone who believe, that means steadfastly. That means you have to be steadfast in the truth. And the reason why you have to be steadfast, see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, again, one of his functioning name as a counselor, as a strengthener, as a standby, or as an advocate. Why? Because in your flesh, my flesh, we can get weak. Not just physically speaking, but in how you think. Why? Because there's a lot of words that can be put before you and make you rethink your stand as a believer on certain issues, you know, regardless of what they're, whether it be homosexuality, transgenderism, whether it be gambling, whether it be adultery, whatever it may be, you have to be mindful that the enemy will do all he can to do what? To try to get you to rethink your stand on these issues of trying to say to you that this is the 21st century, the Bible is outdated. We need a new Bible written for the 21st century. We are different people. We are smarter. We're more education. We have better education and etc. I mean, the list will go on. We may be smarter. We may have more education. We may have more things at our fingertip to help us to do things at a faster pace than what they did 100 years ago and etc. But it still does not change the Bible. It doesn't change God. God is God. And the Bible said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. So God is not going to ever change. We're the ones that have to change. And the renewing of the mind, notice this, we have to renew our mind to the truth of God's word. And so this is the reason why you have the Holy Spirit. He's a strengthener. When there's no one else, sometimes even your own spouse may be indifferent of what the stand you take. Your own sibling, family. And the life that we live now in the flesh, as Paul was telling the church of Galatia, I live now by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in recognizing the Holy Spirit, that means you're going to have to recognize the words of your Redeemer. You're going to have to recognize, and when I say the words of your Redeemer, meaning this, it goes back to Genesis 1 and 2. Because the purpose of the new birth, listen to this carefully. The purpose of the new birth is so that you and I can go back to live out of Genesis 1 and 2. When I say 1 and 2, chapter 1 and chapter 2. God created the heavens and the earth. He, and what is that? Psalm 115, 16, the Bible said how God created the heavens and the earth, but then he gave the earth unto the children of men. And God has put the earth in charge of you and I to do what? And I'm not going to go back and look at these verses of scripture. I think some of you that have been listening to me long enough, you understand, you know, I go to these scriptures all the time. But Genesis 1:28 said, and God blessed them. But in verse 26, it said, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him have dominion. And then verse 27 said, God created he male and female, right? Created he them. And then verse 28 goes to show the purpose of creation of mankind. It said he blessed them, meaning, and God empowered them. See, man had the fullness of God's spirit in him. You know, spirit, soul, and body, because God created the animals, but he didn't name them. Who named him? Adam, the first Adam. So you know what type of mindset he had. And notice this, the animals that, to the best of my knowledge, the animals that Adam gave name to, they all have the same name today. We still live by that. And so your mind that God has made, given unto us, is magnificent. It is a powerful force. And this is where the soulish part of you and I, that the part, that soul dwells within this physical body, and the body can't go where the mind has not already gone. So the body is only a carrying out, physically speaking, what the soul has already been feeding on. So what does Proverbs 23:7 say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that means whatever you give the most attention, whatever you feed on, example, whatever you watch on TV, or whatever movies you go to and watch, whatever information you listen to on your phone, whatever the people whom you hang around with, whether it be church people or unchurched people, whatever you're listening to, feeding on the most about worldview, then that is what you're going to partake. Are you following what I'm saying? So there is a fight for your mouth. There's a fight for words. And this is the reason why Paul said in Romans 6:16, he says, "Know ye not therefore that to whom you make yourself servants to, his servant you become, whether sin unto death or obedient unto righteousness." So that's a powerful verse for you and I to recognize, to understand that there are two forces that govern the earth. One is good and one is evil. But we are able to make the right choice as the righteousness of God. Why? Because we feed on the truth of the Word of God. And let me just say this one more thing before we actually get into the lesson. It's like bathing. You bathe your physical body or shower it, however you go about doing it every day. What's the purpose? It's to keep you doing a maintenance to keep it cleansed, right? Well, that's the same thing about the soul. It has to be spiritually cleansed, you know, by feeding on the word, amen, praying in the spirit, you know, confessing scriptures over your body, over yourself. What are you doing? What? To remind yourself that this is the standard of life that I've chosen. This is how I, this is what I think about sickness. This is what I think about disease. This is what I think about poverty. This is what I think about marriage. This is what I think about education, and etc. We don't deviate from the truth of the Word of God through the blood of Jesus. And so why we're calling this recognizing the Holy Spirit? Because again, you know, I've given you many aspects of this, but this right here in this segment of what we're doing today and all this week is to grow us up more spiritually. It's to grow us up to the place that we can not only, we don't only have the maturity or the fullness of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ in our spirit, but we can grow in a place of maturity in the soulish man. See, soul salvation has to be fed. It has to be washed. It has to be maintained every day. Okay? It's like your physical body. You have to eat every day. Well, your soul has to be fed. It has to be maintained every day. Why? So that it doesn't pick up on, it's easy for it to pick up on evil. It's easy for it to pick up on things that's conniving. Why? You were conceived in it. But to put yourself in a place to walk in right standing with God, you have to fight for it. You have to cast down thoughts, cast down ways that ideologies that you and I had before we came to the acknowledgement of the truth that we embrace right now. And once you have gained ground, then you're going to recognize the enemy is going to fight you even more. So why? Because you got light now. You have truth. But the only deal, the only thing about that is because you have this truth, you recognize that, sure enough, that he's no match for you now. You know why he's coming out against you. But you recognize, as long as I stay hidden in him, I allow, when I say hidden in him, I'll allow his life to speak forth out of me. I'm just the body that the Spirit of God needs. We are his hands to lay hands on the sick. We are his mouthpiece to release living waters so that the sick, the lame could be made whole, the dead could be raised. See, the Spirit of God is all over the globe. But the Spirit of God has to have a body that it can function through. That's why when you see people, you know, whether you're in a shopping center or wherever you are, and you see them at a disadvantage because of some type of disease or some type of accident or incident took place, and they're living life to the best of their ability, and that's not what they want. Well, God has made you and I. He has given unto you and I what? The ministry of reconciliation, of bringing them to a place that they could be healed in their bodies. They could be healed in their mind. They could receive a miracle if need be. We see the Spirit of God is there for it to happen. But what if you and I don't step up to the plate and let him use our mouthpiece to do what? To minister life. For them to receive healing, for them to receive deliverance. Whatever it is that they have need of, we're carrying it on the inside of this body. So you don't, I constantly give this illustration to my church, and I may have said it to you a couple of times, but, when I was a kid growing up, that's when you could go buy tobacco as a kid, and you used to be able to buy cigarettes for whoever, two for 50 cents or whatever it was, I forgot. But anyway, the illustration is this: the kid that was in the front of me asked the lady, the cashier, do you have Prince Albert in the can? And she said, sure, I do. So she reached to get the Prince Albert in the can. He said, then why won't you let him out? And, it was a joke, and he took out and ran, so you understand that. Well, it's to say the Holy Spirit used that and just say, hey, we got the Holy Spirit of God inside. But if we never let him out through our laying on the hand, through words of speaking healing or speaking deliverance or releasing faith, allowing God to use our eyes to look at someone, to hear things or whatnot, then guess what? He won't be able to get out and show forth that he has already paid the price for mankind, not just for their sin, but for their sickness, for their diseases, for whatever there is. So God want the human race to know. But it is only expressive through you and I. And this is why you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So look at this once again in John chapter 14. And notice verse 12, Jesus said, I assure you, most solemnly tell you, if anyone steadfast will believe in me. You see that? It's not in yourself. It's not positive thinking. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not in your pastor. Jesus said, believe in me. So if you really believe that Jesus healed the sick, and we saw many instances in the Bible how he ministered to the sick, how he ministered to those that were leper, that had leprosy. Right? That's your way of walking out, demonstrating to others that may have a sickness, that may have a disease. There's no perfect way of healing the sick. When I say perfect way, you can lay hands on them. You can speak the word of God over them. You can cast out devils, and then all of a sudden the pain or whatever, it will leave the body. You're just following what the word of God said. And as you and I obey, what the word of God says, then we will be able to see, get the result that God has already desired for us to have. So when Jesus said, I assure you, most solemnly tell you, if anyone steadfastly believe in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. Wow. So what is the key of doing the things that Jesus did? He fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. In other words, it was like 5 crackers and 2 sardines. That's really what this little boy lunch was all about when you look it up. And so how could Jesus take something that was so small, so insignificant, and then he didn't pray for it, he gave thanks. Why? Because he knew that the authority lied on the inside of him, and he knew it was the will of the Father for them not to be fed. So what he did, he gave thanks, God, because he had the same mindset of the Father. So he didn't have to pray and say, Lord, is it your will for them to eat? Is it your will for them? No. No. But he looked to the one who was the all-sufficient one, who released the power of increase. Why? Because he is the creator of the sardine, of the fish, the cracker. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's the same God that the children of Israel, because they wouldn't move forward, that was in that wilderness for 40 years, and God fed them every day, morning and night. He fed them. They didn't provide for themselves. It was God himself. So the same God that provided then in types and shadow, you and I have the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. That's why I said recognizing the Holy Spirit. That means you got to know the word. You got to know his voice. You have to understand the characteristic of God. And when you read the word or you listen to the word, you know, I find myself a lot of time when I'm driving, I put the Bible in. You know, I just start, you know, sometimes I just start from Acts, and I just, wherever I'm going, I just keep on listening. And I'm not trying to retain it. I'm just hearing it, allowing it to flow through me. Allowing me, why? Because just listening, then all of a sudden, something will hit, something will click. And that was for me to grab hold to, so I can continue to keep thinking why I'm listening to the word. What is it doing? I'm reintroducing myself every day to the new identity that is already within me. See, my spirit don't need this, but my soul does. My body does. My circumstances around me does. So when I go from one place to the next place, I'm always being energized. I'm always being refurbished. Why? Because of the living water that's constantly flowing through me. You follow what I'm saying? And so what it does, it empowers you and I that when you get out your vehicle or whatnot, you're looking for someone to minister to. You're looking for someone that may have been crying out to God. And notice it, you and I are that, you and I are the answer to their prayers. And this is what Jesus said. He said, the work that I do, he will do greater than these because I go to the Father. And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name. You know that word ask mean? It means you can make you're making a demand. You're not making a demand on God, but you're making a demand upon what is rightfully yours. You know, I can make a demand upon a withered hand to be made whole. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I have his right. I am his representative. You are too. So therefore, I'm making a demand upon this withered hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you. See? Notice what I said. I command you. Why? Because that authority is here in the body of believers. But if we, as body of believers, stay to ourselves, well, if the Lord lead me, I'll go pray for him. Lord, if you just let me know. In Mark 16:17, the Bible said believers should lay hands on the sick. It didn't give no specification. It said believers should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, well, they're going to have to release some faith to believe. Well, really? You ever raised the dead before? Because I have a couple of times, and there was no faith there for them to receive. So the faith is in you and I. Remember what Jesus said? If anyone steadfastly believe in me, Because you see, what am we doing? I'm using his faith. I'm using his words, standing, believing, relying upon what his words say that he will do. I can't do it. But if he's needing my body to communicate, to express the love of God, and if I won't open my mouth and allow God to be known, this is why people have a bad taste in their mouth about God. God can only be expressive through you and I. You and I are partakers, are carriers of this anointing. But again, if you got to get over yourself, you got to get past an unrenewed mindset of saying, well, what if they don't get up? Well, what if this don't happen? Well, you know, it may not be the proper place. Man, let me tell you something. When somebody hurting and somebody is really discomforted, they don't care where they are. Only a believer care about that, because, see, I don't even know what the right word to use. It's harder sometimes for believers to get healed than it is for a non-believer. Because we as believers sometimes, we know all the scriptures. We had hands laid on us here. We've been in this meeting. We've been in that meeting. But notice this. Your faith was in that person, not in Jesus Christ. That's why you didn't notice what he said. If ye, see, as a believer, our faith, I don't have to have hands laid on me to get healed. I could speak to myself, my own body, and command it to get right. Are you following what I'm saying? The gift, this anointing that we carry on the inside of us, it's not for us to serve ourselves, because we're already taken care of through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's for us to give out to those who may not know him, who may not understand him. And when I go about ministering to the sick, to the homeless, or whatever that is, or giving a kind word to somebody, what am I doing? I'm taking my mind off of me, and I'm putting my mind on doing what? Blessing someone else. Remember Genesis 1? And he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. Well, if I'm going to be fruitful, if I'm going to multiply, then guess what? I'm using the word of Christ. I'm using the spirit of Christ. I'm allowing his life in me to come forth. I'm just a body. I'm just a carrier. That's what you are. You're just a carrier. So what you doing? I'm allowing his life. I'm speaking his life out of me. I'm using my vocal cord, my mouth, to express. Jesus said, by his stripes, you were healed. So I command you that whatever that part of that body, be healed. And when you do that, what are you doing? You're releasing the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that went to the cross, that was at that whipping post. See, remember, we got credit as though it was us. And that's the reason why especially the moment that this season that we're up on, don't see Jesus on that cross. Don't see Jesus at that whipping post. See it as you. Is that being you? Because he was the substitute for you and I. And until you get a revelation of that, of understanding, and it takes time to meditate on that, to think on that, because only the Holy Spirit can give you light in that. And I know it's gruesome, but I'm telling you, until you can recognize this is what the love of your Father did for you and I to bring us freedom, to bring us this liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, then guess what? You will never live life again in pain. You'll never live with some in sickness. You'll never just continue to just keep living on medication all the days of your life, not knowing that, hey, I got the word of life. Don't just take your medicine and don't take the word. In Proverbs chapter 4, let me show you this, and I'm going to probably have to stop. But in Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read this out of Amplified too. In Proverbs chapter 4, and I want you to look at this. I really want you to meditate on this. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's look here at verse 20. And in actuality, there is four verses here that I want you to see. So in Proverbs chapter 4, and notice this, in verse 20, it said, "My son, attend to my word, consent and submit to my saying." Can you see that? That's why your mind has to be renewed. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do what? To enlighten you, to strengthen you, to empower you, to open your mouth and speak words of life and not of doubt and unbelief. Because see, why? I can't see the Spirit. I can't really feel the Spirit. You know, what people say, well, I feel. No, that's the anointing, that the tangibility, that's the anointing of the Spirit. But notice this. He said, "My son, attend to my word, consent and submit to my saying." Well, how will you submit? How do you submit? That means you come up under of what the king has spoken, what your Lord has spoken, and you are actually taking what he said and you are using it to yourself. Are you speaking it to your finances? Are you laying hands on the sick or whatever that may be? But you won't get the results. See, this is the reason why you have the Holy Spirit. This is one reason why praying in other tongues is so powerful. So, you know, you don't hear much about praying in the Spirit today. But I'm telling you, it is a powerful aspect because why? It is what helps renew your mind. It is what helps strengthen your inner man. It's not strengthening your spirit when I pray in tongues. My spirit don't need to be strengthened. My spirit do not need to be, it don't need to be strengthened. It don't need to be revived. It's 100% God. It's sealed with the Spirit of God. It's sealed with God's Spirit. My spirit is not the problem. My soul is the problem because my soul is connected both to my spirit and my body. And if my body is going to experience healing, if my mind is going to be free from whatever mental anguish, my soul has to be open to release the divine life, the energy of God's word that's in my spirit, so that it could filter through my soul to my body, to my immune system. Whatever that is in my, you know, in my finances, in my business, in my ministry, the soul has to release the divine energy of God. That's why we say the mind has to be renewed all the time. Because you're going to run up against things constantly during the day, you know, this coming against you, not enough money in this to do that, not enough people to help to do this, whatever that nature of the case may be, you're going to have to pray in the Spirit and say, "Holy Ghost, this is your vision. This is your dream. I'm just a carrier of what you have me called me to do. How do you want me to go about this? What do you want? What is my stand in this?" And sometimes you hear right away, you get a witness, or you may start praying in the Spirit and all of a sudden you just, you know, the way that you're going, you see, some of you sensing that vibe coming off of me right now. Why? Because that's a witness of you experiencing, that's how God leading you. Some of you thinking that you're off course and you don't realize you right smack dab in the midst of what God wants you to be, but because you don't see what it needs to be, it don't appear what it ought to be, you thinking it's not God. I don't know where we get that from, but that's not so. Listen to this. It said, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my saying. That's the first thing that I look to do. Before I get anybody else's approval, I'm looking for God's approval, right? I'm looking to make sure I have the word of God on this. Number two, watch this. Let them not depart from your sight. That means you got to keep the word before your eyes, you know, in your mind. You know, I'm always quoting the word of God to myself. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that eat the fruit thereof should, you know the result. When you eat, when you whatever you're speaking, the fruit thereof is going to manifest itself. Is that right? Psalm 103, it talks about, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. The first benefit, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Number two, who heal all your diseases. Number three, who redeem your life from destruction and crown you with loving kindness. And number four, who fill your mouth with good things. So what are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about the ministry that you, where you go, the church that you're a part of? What are you saying about the job that you may be on? What are you saying about it? Because if you keep speaking bad about it, then guess what? That's all you're going to continue to see. And then sooner or later, either you're going to quit or you'll get fired. Whatever. Notice this. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. Can you see that? That means I don't care how bad something sound or how bad something, find a way of looking at the word how God looks at it. Think about how God looks at it. And when you look at it from God's perspective, then guess what? Now you empower the Holy Spirit to bring about a change in that business, in that ministry, in that family, in your community, in the atmosphere itself. The earth groaned and waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So when are we going to manifest? It don't mean, well, I'm waiting on God to release me. No. When a storm is coming, no, God has already released you. He's already revealed to you how you ought to take charge of it. Notice it, number three. He said, for they are life to those who find them and healing and health to all their flesh. When you find that word, when you first of all submit to those to his saying, what's the first thing he said to do? And this is Solomon. What is the first thing he said? He said, attend to the word, consent and submit yourself to his saying. So you have to commit. You have to consent. You have to submit to it. You can't wait for someone else to get you there. You have to be the one to say, this is what the word says. I make the word of God first and final authority. Even if I can't do it, even if I struggle, I'm going to stay with it. Right? Number two, he said what? Let them not depart from your sight or from your eyes. So you're keeping the word of God before your eyes. Why? Because that is one of the entrances to the heart. Your eyes, your ear, and your mouth. When I say your heart, I'm talking about your soul. If anything is going to change, it's going to change by what you say, by how you see, through your perception, and through how you hear, your understanding, right? Notice this. Number four, he said, keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all, that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. Did you hear that? Keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. So you got to put a guard over your mouth. So when things doesn't appear that it's right, or you know, man, it just seemed like nothing ever goes right. It just seemed like every time I look around, if it ain't one thing, it's another. You got to get rid of that concept. Got to get rid of that. Number five, he said, put away from you false and dishonest speech. He said, but I feel it's real. It's false. Your feelings will lie to you. The truth is Jesus already redeemed you. Do you know what the word redeemed means? It means that, number one, you and I were sold on the slave market called sin. Look it up. Number two, the price of our redemption was a ransom. The ransom was what? His own blood, his own life. It wasn't money. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Number three, once the ransom was made, then you and I were made free through the blood of Jesus that was shed when he got up. Romans 4:25 is saying that when he got when Jesus got up, but guess what? It was on our account. So now you've been loose from your past, present, and future tense of sin. You've been loose from all pain, sickness, disease, and sorrow. You've been loose from it. But these are the qualification, not the only ones. But this is part of the qualification as, again, when you look at Proverbs 4, so what did he say? Put away from you false and dishonest speech. So false and dishonest speech, say, well, you know, I'm going to be crippled like this for the rest of my life. I'm going to have this infection in my lungs the rest of my life. The doctor said all I can do is manage it. Or I can't be outside because of the pollen, because of this. The devil is a lie. God never created you like that. That's under the curse. So you got to change your speech. So what if you don't change what your speech is, what you're saying with that Jesus did for you is a lie. He didn't do it. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on nobody, but I'm just trying to get you to see that the doctor's word is not the last word. Jesus' word is the last word. The life that he gave to you. The doctor may be giving you the diagnosis that he can give from a physical perspective. He's diagnosing the symptom. He's not the curer. You and I are the one that Jesus said, you cured them. You healed them. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Stop expecting the doctors to do what God has already called you and I, gave you and I to do. So he said, what? Put away from you what? False speech. False and what? Dishonest speech. And willful and contrary talk. Put it far from you. It said, let your eyes look right on with what? Fixed purpose. To make your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, what the scripture said, what the promise said. I don't care what my feelings say. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what my bankers say. When I say I don't care, meaning this, it's not that I'm just, you know, I didn't consider what they said. I'm not letting it be the final authority. I'm not letting it be, you know, this is what I got, you know, there's no hope. No, your hope is in Christ Jesus. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Thank God the doctor was able to diagnose what was wrong. Thank God, you know, your banker or whoever was able to diagnose, show you. Now you can come to the Word of God where the author of life is and begin to start praying in the Spirit and watch the Spirit of God give you one word or give you or just start leading you in a way. And all of a sudden, what looked like it was impossible, it was now made possible. Why? Because you didn't quit. Are you getting this? So my time is coming gone. I didn't mean to be so long with you, but I pray that you get something out of this. Go back and listen to these scriptures again. Look them up. Feed on them. Meditate on them. Because you have the helper on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost will help you to walk in these truths. Your natural mind will not allow you to do this. Your circumstance, it won't allow you to do it. but your help will come from the Lord. And look, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So if you want to listen to more of this, those of you, if you have not known, have not noticed, we do have a podcast. Not just my church has a podcast, but this online Bible school has a podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. That is Grace Institute Online Bible School. You can go to your favorite podcast, whatever your podcast is, and put in that Grace Institute Online Bible School, download it. And as you upload, this lesson will be uploaded as soon as I finish this broadcast. And you can listen to today's, yesterday, last week, or whatever. And hey, send me some feedback, you know, how it helped you. If it's any way I can help you or minister to you any further, hey, send me a word, talk to me in message, amen, or text me. And I want you to know I love you. I thank God for you. The Lord Jesus, my God, does he love you? He gave his life for us. And those of you that's anywhere close around, 50 miles or more or less, we have our Grace Conference that's coming up this Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. So Sunday morning, I started off. Monday night, my friend, Pastor Carl Comon, he will be teaching the Word of God Monday night. Then I have another pastor friend, Jason Miller. He will be doing Tuesday night. And these are men of God I love and respect. They will be teaching, and then Wednesday night, I will close it out on Wednesday night. And so, and each one of these lessons that these men teach, it will be on a podcast also. It will be on the Favorite Church podcast. And you can listen to the Word of God, feed your faith, and starve out the doubts. Amen. And so we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you now. We'll do it again, God willing, tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.